All right, hear these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Therefore, and whenever, every time there's a therefore, I like to add what's a little bit before that. Paul says, for all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. So therefore, because we have to all appear before Christ one day, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view or from the flesh, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. In Genesis chapter 8, God said to Noah, as the waters were receding, go, leave the ark, go be fruitful and multiply. When God came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he told Abram, go, leave your country, leave your family, and go into the world. Go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was with before God, and God said to him, go and assemble the elders of Israel. I have given heed to what has been done to you in Egypt, and I will bring you up out of the misery of Egypt. Of course, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go therefore into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Go, go, go. I'm here this morning to remind you all of a couple things. First of all, a little bit of a history lesson of who we are as people. In the early 1800s, God's Spirit was once again moving on the wild, dangerous frontier of a new country called America. The Spirit was saying to the founders of our church, go into the frontier. Go into the land that is unsettled and go to the people that don't know me and bring more people to faith. Go into the frontier. The early Cumberland Presbyterian ministers were kind of similar to maybe what we might think of Methodists now. A lot of them were itinerant travelers. They would actually travel around to different places and hold great camp revivals outdoors like this, maybe in the heat. I don't think they had air conditioning in the 1800s. Woo! Can you imagine? Some of us are melting right now, aren't we? You know, I thought about doing that today. This week I thought maybe I'd ride. They ride horses. I thought about maybe riding one of our dogs. That didn't go well today when we practiced. But in the early, that was a terrible joke. Y'all are so gracious for laughing. That was just terrible. Woo, man. Yeah, pity laugh. I'll take what I can get. But in the early 60s, guess what? The church in Edgefield decided they need to listen to God once again and go. And they came out here to Brush Hill and planted a church right here that they could serve this little sleepy suburb of Englewood. Today we're on our last core value, that we live on a mission. And this one is arguably, as I thought back throughout all of our history, this one to me is probably one of the ones that is deepest in our DNA, that God has called us out of the comfortable place in our lives and to go into the world and share His saving love with whosoever will believe. This last core value is one of our most important because it gives us reasons behind why the first six matter so much. That we are formed by the truth and the love of Jesus. That we worship together joyfully. That we love and welcome all. That we serve others before being served, as I saw today with the army of people making this possible. We share what we have been given. We are intentionally intergenerational. And then finally, we live on a mission. We live not for ourselves, but we live to go into the new frontier of today and to live on that mission for Christ. Now, there is a lot I'd like to say about this text because it is amazing and powerful. But I had a revelation yesterday when I was walking my dog. It is hot. And it's hot today. And therefore, I want to just offer y'all two things about this passage that really stood out to me as I was reading it this week. And the first one is that God has called us into some new frontiers. The first frontier is the frontier out there. This is why we're here today. We had to come outside the doors to really get a sense for the idea that God has once again called us into ministry. And the ministry happens within the church walls, don't get me wrong. It happens among us, don't get me wrong. But certainly we are here not for ourselves, but we're here for the people of the world. That God, as it says in verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God Himself has been on a mission to bring people who are estranged from Him by sinful rebellion together through the power of Jesus, through the forgiveness of Jesus, that from the moment that Adam and Eve left the garden, God's heart has been to bring the family of God back together. That God has longed for a renewed intimacy and has set a plan in motion in Christ to make that happen. Think back to Abraham when God sent him out, called him out from the comfortable place of his family in the land that he knew to go out into a new foreign land. To go, as it says in Genesis 12, to be blessed by God, but to be a blessing as well. He called the people of Israel out of Egypt, rescuing them from slavery. And he said to them, "You will be my kingdom of priests." My kingdom of priests. Priests don't exist for themselves, but they exist for the people they serve. Jesus, of course, came as the light of the world. He healed and He welcomed the sick and the sinner. His heart is leaving the 99 to go after the one, which still doesn't make sense to me, but yet it's who He is. And of course, Paul, the Apostle Paul, someone that was far from God, knocked to his feet by the Lord. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Why? God didn't create a church and say, I should give them something to do. Let's give them a mission. No, God has a mission from the very beginning and said, I'm going to create a church to do that mission for me. I want to work with my people so that they would take part in what I'm doing to bring this family of God back together. And that's something that has always been a part of our DNA here at Brush Hill, the family of God. I believe that God will not bless a church that is not willing to leave behind the safe, comfortable places and venture out into the spaces where people are hurting and people are in need of Jesus. He won't do it. God's heart is with those that don't know Him, that are hurting and suffering right now, that are in rebellion. God wants to see them healed. And so as it says in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ since God is making His appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. God is making His appeal through us. It still blows my mind that God would choose to work through people like you and me to do work in this world. That God is not choosing any other medium. There's no other plan that's out there. God says, I want to work through the people here to bring about the message of salvation. It is our job to represent, or as others have put it, to represent God to our neighbors and the people around us today in our city. And a lot of people need a representation of God. Maybe the God that they know is all they see from what they see on the news. Maybe all they know of Christians or people that follow Jesus is what they see. And they need a new presentation of who God is in Jesus Christ. Will we give them that? We are the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ. Let us not forget that. And more we live in a world where we have things delivered to us. We live in an Amazon world. We live in a world of Netflix where all we have to do is just sit there and the world will come to us. And therefore, as Christians, we have to expect that people aren't just going to come here. They will. But more and more, I believe God is calling us to be missionaries right in our own backyard. And that's going to lead to some bold things we have to do. And that might look like what I experienced the other day. I was at Kroger, and I ended up there right in the parking lot of Kroger, filling up gas. I had to sit, someone came up, we had a conversation, I got to pray for this lady right there in the parking lot of Kroger. That's our mission field. It might look like the other day when I was at home and I got home from work and I was exhausted, but I heard my neighbor across the street, his garage was open and he was working on something, and I felt this tug in my spirit. You could go inside, but you should go over and talk to him. And so the frontier for me looked like walking across the street and talking to my neighbor. And it turned out that he was in a lot of need actually that there, and he was so glad that I came. The new frontier for us is everywhere we live and work and play. The opportunities that come to us will be in our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, and everyone we encounter. We as a church cannot exist for ourselves, but we exist for God in the sake of the world. That's the first frontier. The second frontier is the frontier right within us. God's not just calling us to go out, but I believe God's calling us to go further within ourselves too, because going out is going to cause us to pray like we've never prayed before. It's going to cause us to read Scripture and seek Him like we've never sought Him before. It's going to cause us to pour out our heart, asking for the Spirit to come down, for the heavens to open like we never have before. Paul wrote there in the beginning of this passage, "For the love of Christ urges us on, compels us, constrains us. I want to be a person, and I believe that God has called us to be people that are just motivated by the love of Christ in everything we do." And I don't know about y'all, but that's not always me. I'm motivated by a lot of things, but can I say that I'm really motivated and urged and constrained and bound by the love of Christ in every situation? I believe God is calling us on a mission, not just out there, but a mission within our very own hearts, to really find the frontier lands within us, the places that are unplowed up that God is wanting to plant new seeds in and grow new things, the places that are within us that we're scared to talk about. Maybe there are things that we're just in open rebellion against God for and we just haven't wanted to touch it. God is saying, I want access there too. My friends, if we're ever going to make an impact out here, it starts when we come together by having God work within us first and foremost. And so as a church, this means that we live on a mission. A mission to become and be followers of Jesus that are compelled by the love of God, who go into the world as ambassadors for Christ in this ministry of reconciliation, that go into the world and also go to one another and bring out what's going on within us, that talk to God and talk to one another about what the Spirit is calling us to. And so we as a church, this means that we are going to make decisions as a church, and they're going to be based primarily around two questions. Is what we're doing faithful to the Scriptures and faithful to God? That's first and foremost. But the second one is, how is what we're doing furthering our mission to love and reach people for God? That's it. We're not going to worry about anything. Those are the primary things. It's not primarily how do we feel about it or whether it'll benefit our church. Will it love people into the kingdom of God? That's what I want to know. Will it love people into the kingdom of God? Will it speak to those who are estranged from God and from the community of the church? We will not compete with other churches. We will seek kingdom collaboration. We will not worry about who gets credit. We'll worry about who gets Christ. We will not worry about preferences. We will worry about people. The mission wins the day. The mission wins the day here at Brush Hill. And this matters because as ambassadors for Christ, it means we belong in two realities at once. We belong as people living in the kingdom of God and also people that live within the world and have the world within us. And too many times we can either be all about one and never get in relationship with the people around us, or we can be too far just in the world and never let the kingdom of God work on us. And so, my friends, I want us to be clear about who we are, that we are a people on a mission for God. And if you're like me, you might be worried about that a little bit because you look at yourself and you're like, oh my goodness, God's got to work with this. Like, God's not going to get a lot done around here. But the thing that I want to close on is this thought right here. The main thing that I take heart in when I look at myself and think, all right, God, you know what you're doing? Is that God has called us to present Christ to the world first, not ourselves. And therefore, we present ourselves, flaws and all, because it's about the grace of Jesus in our lives. It's not about presenting the world with this perfect view of who we are and ourselves. It's about presenting ourselves being made new by Jesus. So if you got flaws, if you're not perfect, if you are struggling to be faithful, you're in the right place here at Brush Hill, let me tell you. And at the same time, we're going to walk with you and walk with one another as we see the victory of Christ unfold day by day and step by step. We live on a mission for Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for getting us a little uncomfortable today. Lord, thank you for moving us outside the walls of the church. Lord, help us continue to do that. Lord, we are your ambassadors, that you are making your appeal to the world through us. And God, we want to be people that in everything we do, are just compelled by the love of Jesus for one another and for our neighbors. Lord, help us to go into the frontier around us, a world that maybe doesn't look like it used to, and people maybe that are far from you, and recognize that the further steps that we take, that you're going to be with us, you're going to be helping us, Lord, and that you're also going to be working out the frontier within our very own hearts. Lord, we submit ourselves to you, and thank you for allowing us and reminding us that we are your church for your mission. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. As we sing our final hymn and run to the shade, let's just continue to pray for the Spirit's coming. All right, as a church, we want to continue to pray that God would pour out His Spirit on us and pour out His Spirit in our neighborhood and in our fellow churches and all around us. And let us pray and remember and think about, how is God calling you to step into the frontier? To step into the frontier of your own heart that you might be holding back from Him in? Or stepping into the frontier of your neighborhood, or your work, or your school, or whatever, or wherever. Let's worship.